You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you we can come together and just worship you and focus on you. Thank you that we just have this opportunity. Thank you for each person that has come. And pray they'd be encouraged through you. And Lord, I pray you would just anoint me through Spirit. I just speak things to the Spirit that hearts would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we just look into your word, and we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your goodness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And we're going to be looking at Matthew 1:1. This is such an exciting verse. You know, just overwhelmed with this verse, all right? Matthew 1:1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Told you you'd be excited. We've been looking, I thought I would do this December and just talk about through the each Sunday, talk about why we celebrate Christmas, isolate some points and talk about them. And so by the time we come up from Christmas Day, we just kind of have this history behind us. So I'm just going to use this month to talk about the different aspects of why we celebrate Christmas. And as you know, last week we talked about the virgin birth. Highly encourage you to, if you didn't hear that, to listen to it online. There's about five verses that are really significant and that really give you deep insight about the virgin birth and why it was necessary and how God proclaimed that, you know, from the very beginning. And I promise you, you have those five verses and you read that and look at it, and I'm not overstating this. You're going to be smarter than 95% of the people in the world. I'm serious. Because the rest of the world doesn't understand it. And even Christians may understand the virgin birth. They'll say, okay, God came through the Virgin Mary, and that's what it says. And so we celebrate it, and we have the little manger scenes, you know. And so people accept that. But with those five verses, you see the whole big picture of God's hand in that. And it's really awe-inspiring. So I encourage you to look at that as we talked about the virgin birth last week. Now, this week, we're going to look at Jesus' ancestry, okay? Jesus' ancestry. This is like the ancestry.com for Jesus, all right? Ancestry.com. If you went on ancestry.com and put in Jesus, you should come up with this ancestry, all right? So that's what we're going to look at this morning. And the purpose is because why is Jesus, you know, why is it, how did Jesus get here and how did we know he is the one that we worship? And so we're going to look at his ancestry, okay? Now, if you look on your bulletin, Tom Duke has put Jesus' family tree. Notice that? That's Jesus' family tree. Now, it's a little hard to read. I'm sure you can email Tom, and he'd send you the link on that. But those are the actually people that are listed as in Jesus' ancestry. So if you went on ancestry.com, now I'm being a little joking, just a little facetious. That's his ancestry, all right? So we have a picture of who Jesus is and the background, his earthly ancestry, how he got here. Now, as we look at this, so this is important. Is this week too? Last week, again, was the virgin birth. So this week, we're going to look at the genealogy of Jesus and see what God has to say to us. And again, it should be encouraging as we get through it that we see that how God is moving and how he has made steps and how he has laid out his love for us and the redemption, that he redeems us, that he forgives us, and we see how he did it through Jesus Christ, and it was proclaimed from the very beginning. Now, years ago, just to drive home how important it is to know Jesus' genealogy, or to be aware of it, I'll put it that way. As you look at the genealogy of the tree, I don't know that you would want to memorize it. I bet there are people that have memorized that. Now, I don't know what the benefit is, but I bet there is people who have memorized that. But the point is that we're just aware as we go and celebrate Christmas, and we can be encouraged about Jesus' genealogy and what it meant. Years ago, and I tell you, this was years ago. Like, I'm thinking like 40 years ago, so it's a long time. You know, this is nobody you know. But I was in a Bible study, led by a local pastor. Somebody asked me to go. And so one of the people attending there said, you know, when Jesus came the first time, individuals, that they weren't really sure who he was. They didn't recognize him right off the bat. And then the guy said, so if Jesus came again and we saw him again, how would we recognize him now? And the pastor, and he's a pastor leading his Bible study, he said, that's a good question. That's a good question. And you're right, people didn't recognize him. And you're right, if he came back and similar today, it'd be hard to recognize him. And so we just have to look at the good things he did. And I remember sitting there going, that ain't right. That's not right. You know. And so it bothered me that he would say something like that. Now it's true that Jesus did lots of good things. There's no doubt about that. That no one else did. He did a lot of good things. However, Jesus' genealogy was laid out by God before his birth. He told us up front the genealogy before his birth. So we knew. So the Bible clearly describes the many good things Jesus did. He clearly describes his genealogy, you know. And even his ultimate return, the Bible clearly describes that. The point is, we know. It's not like, okay, gosh, I don't know. What do you think, George? I don't know. Wallace, what do you... It's not like that. We know. We know. Now, so the Bible is really, really clear. And so it's important also that we're aware of this, because the Bible said himself, Jesus, the Bible said, and Jesus said in the Bible, many false Christ will come and deceive many. So he said up front, you're going to have other people saying they're Jesus. They're false Christ are going to come and they're going to deceive many. Now, let's use an outrageous example, okay, just so we can be aware of what has happened in the past and what will happen in the future about people who claim to be Christ other than Christ. So are you ready for this outrageous example? All right. Let's suppose me, I, did some really incredible miracles. What if I, in a situation, raised the dead? What if I did tremendous healings? And all of a sudden you're going, wow, I can't believe the miraculous things I have seen Wallace do. And then I come up one Sunday morning and says, just want to let you know, I'm Jesus. Now, I've done some stuff, all right? I'm done some. You're shaking your head. He's really done some stuff here. But I come up and say, I am Jesus. Now, being the Bible scholars you are, what you should say is like, Wallace, you were born in New Mexico, and your grandfather was a half-breed Indian. Which is true, by the way. I didn't make that up. So if you think I'm being derogatory, no, that is me, okay? I was born in New Mexico, and my grandfather is a half-breed Indian. And you think, you know, you might be gifted, but you ain't Jesus, right? Have you ever seen, is there any scripture that you can find, any writings you can find, where Jesus was born in New Mexico? I mean, can you find anything in Jesus' heritage where one of his grandfathers was a half-breed Indian? No. So it's like, all right, you're doing some good stuff, but you're not Jesus. See, now why this is important, because there's other people doing the same things. They're doing the same thing. You go, wait a minute. Your lineage is wrong. I don't care what you're doing. Your lineage is wrong. Biblically, you can't be Jesus. You may be good, but you're not Jesus. Amen? Now, so this is what we want to keep in mind, and this is why it's important when you know something like this, because the Bible clearly tells us Jesus' genealogy, how he would come, his purpose for coming. So as a result, we're going to take a little time and we're going to look at his genealogy. All right? Let's just look at his genealogy. And we're going to look, if the Bible says, the verse we have up here, he's the son of Abraham. He's the son of Abraham. All right? So that gives us a hint. That also gives you a hint, no matter what I would say, I couldn't be Jesus. You know, Abraham's not in my lineage. He's just not, all right? So we want to look at, that the Bible says he's the son of Abraham. So we're going to look at kind of the first mention about this Abrahamic genealogy. So we just know. I mean, this is something that we can just know. Okay, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 12, 1:1. God calls Abraham. God calls Abraham. And so we're going to learn something about Jesus' ancestry. In Genesis 12, 1 through 2, it says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, that's before God renamed him Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. I'm going to call you out of your people. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Man, I mean, that's God calling Abraham, so he tells him that. Now, this is 2,000 years before Christ was born. 2,000 years before Christ was born. So it's 4,000 years from today. We're going back, okay? So 2,000 years before Christ was born, God calls out Abraham. He calls out Abraham. So we see God calling Abraham and promising Abraham that he is going to be a blessing to the world. Abraham's going to be a blessing to the world. We see that God will accomplish this promise by blessing Abraham's seed. Now, last week we learned that most Bibles will translate seed as offspring. Okay, his offspring. Literally, it means seed. That's what they're translating, the word seed. Now, what I did here, I'm going to show you a quotation in a minute from the Bible. It's the New American Standard. Only reason I use the New American Standard in this one, because it translates seed as seed. All right? So they didn't bother to go to offspring. It calls it what it is. It's a seed. And so we're going to look at this term seed in this blessing to Abraham. And I know this is kind of like a little dry, but again, it helps us get a picture here, you know, of our assurance that we have in Jesus and his love for us. Okay, we're going to look at Genesis 22, 17 through 18. Now, we looked at Genesis 12, 1, and God calls Abraham out. Call, you're going to be a blessing. Now, he starts making specific promises to Abraham. He's making specific promises, and there's a bunch of them. I just pulled this one out. But Abraham is a central character in the Old Testament, especially the book of Genesis. Okay, here's what he says to Abraham. Abraham, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as of the sand of the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Now, here's a huge promise to Abraham. Now, again, don't forget, Jesus is the son of what? Abraham. That's the reason we're looking at it right now. So here's a promise that God has made to Abraham. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, here is something that everybody agrees with. When I say everybody, anybody that looks at the scripture, liberal or conservative, everyone agrees that Abraham is the father of the Jewish people. He's the first Jew. Okay, but he is. And so his descendants, all his descendants from 2,000 years before Christ was born, came through Abraham, his kids, all right? So we know that Abraham is the father of the Jewish people. God is going to greatly multiply Abraham's seed, the Jewish people, right? And all the nations will be blessed through Abraham's seed. Amen? That's what it says. Now, the God of the universe is going to come, and he's going to do a supernatural miracle, but he's going to come to redeem the world, but he's going to come through the Jewish people. Amen? You know who that leaves out? Kid born in New Mexico, and his grandfather's half-breed Indian. It just leaves me out, you know? I mean, it does, all right? But it leaves out a whole bunch of other folk, too. But anyway, you get the idea. So you got this picture. Oh, wow, this is through the Jewish people that this is happening. So Jesus, the son of Abraham, comes through the Jewish people. Amen? Jesus is a Jew. He is pure as he can be. Jew. So we have that. So when it says that genealogy, it's important. Who is Jesus? Came through the Jewish people. He's a Jew. Very important. Now I'm going to share something with you. Now this is, we're just kind of here, just click it off, you know, ancestry.com. I mean, we're just going ancestry.com. That's all we're doing. But now I'm going to share a verse with you, and we're going to go deep. I mean, this is deep. This is as deep as anything you'll ever read in the scriptures, as far as profound and understanding the depths of the scriptures. Are you ready? They need to pay attention. You may scratch your head. We'll back up and look at it again. But this is mind-boggling. And the Lord tells us here. So we see that this is Jesus' earthly lineage, the son of Abraham. All right? In Galatians, we'll jump to the New Testament. Okay, whammo, 2,000 years. We made a leap here. So just let you know. We're in the New Testament now. And in Galatians 3:16, this is one of the most insightful verses in the New Testament about the seed of Abraham. It's powerful. In fact, it's so powerful, you're not going to hear a lot of people preach on it. So here we have Galatians 3:16. From Galatians 3:16, we can see the workings of the divine plan of God, plus tremendous insight about how to interpret Scripture. Here it is. Bible tells us. It tells us. Okay, let's look at 3:16. You ready? Somebody do a drum roll. Now we got Rich. We're trying to get Rich to play the drums. He won't do it. But we're trying to. If he was up there, he could give us a drum roll. All right. But anyway, then. But here we are. We got a drum roll. Okay, what does Galatians 3:16 say? Let's start on. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. And all God's people said what? Amen. We just read that. That's what he's talking about, Genesis. So he's repeating, Paul's repeating what we just read in Genesis, and there are other places. So we look at that. That's right. God, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Now listen, the scripture does not say and to seeds, plural, meaning many people. Now, what's interesting, seed is a very interesting word because you can use the word seed as plural and singular. Aren't you glad you came? I mean, we think we're in English class. You can tell your kids, all right? So seed can mean, just it can be singular or plural. Depending. Give me a bag of seed. Did you give him one seed? No, you gave him a whole bunch of seeds. You don't give me a bag of seeds. Seed, no, give me a bag of seed, right? Or you go, I'm going to plant a seed, same word. Same word. So it's got one of those words that can be plural or singular based on how you do it. Now, what the scripture is saying, oh, I want to give you some insight into what I said in the Old Testament. I told you we're going to get blessed through Abraham's seed. I didn't mean seeds, plural, when I used it. That's what he's telling us, right? So, the scripture does not say and to seeds, plural, meaning many people, but and to your seed. When I talk to Abraham, I'm talking about one seed. I'm not talking about millions of Jewish people. I'm talking about one Jewish person. Now, you're with me? That's what he's saying. Scriptures are not saved now. Seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, one person, meaning one person, Jesus. So this promise to Abraham is promising Abraham Jesus. Jesus is going to come out of the genealogy of Abraham. Jesus, who also happens to be a Jew. See? But the focus is on the person, not the Jewish people. The person of Jesus. Y'all see that? So now we go back. Now we have an insight into the Old Testament, right? Let's look at this. Look at Genesis 22:18. I'm just going to take the last verse of what we looked at. Genesis 22:18. In your seed, Christ, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Do you see the profound statement there? God says, I am going to bless the entire world. Man, that is a mess of Jews. I mean, gosh, you're going to have Jew on every corner around the world. But that's not what he said. I'm going to bless the world through Jesus. All the world's going to be blessed through Jesus. Because each individual, whether you're in China, you come to know Jesus, you're a believer. You're in South America, you come to know Jesus, you're a believer. You're in Europe, you come to know Jesus, you're a believer. I'm blessing the whole world. You can be any place in the world and you trust Jesus and you come to know Christ. You have a relationship with Christ. And it's through the promise of Abraham. The promise of Abraham. And you go, a kid born in New Mexico with a half-breed Indian father, not going to cut it. And not going to get it done. You see what I'm saying? So, but the one that God has called out, Jesus, who is the seed singular of Abraham, is the one the entire world is going to be blessed. Oh my goodness. My goodness. So Matthew starts out, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. He's the son of Abraham. He is the son of Abraham. He is the seed. He is the fulfillment of all prophecies. He is everything. And I'm going to bless the whole world through Jesus. Amen? Oh my goodness, this is powerful. This is really incredibly powerful. And so what this also is, we see this is the legal, and this is important in the biblical world, this is the legal lineage of Jesus. The legal earthly lineage of Jesus all the way through Joseph. Joseph. He came through Joseph. Joseph was the legal heir, earthly heir. And so you have the manger scene. So we have the manger scene, and who's in the manger scene? Joseph and Mary. And Joseph is the legal heir. And they look, the son coming from Joseph is the one which the whole world is going to be blessed. Amen? This is going to be a fun Christmas. It's like, wow. God pulled this off 2,000 years, and then he pulled it off, and we're still celebrating it today. Still celebrating it today, because God is still blessing the whole world. Whole world. Who is he blessing them through? Those that believe on the seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, I just confess up front. You have all that information? Okay, I'm just going to just kind of dump a little more. All right? Not done. I'm going to dump it. I'm going to do it one more time after that. But anyway, just so you can think about it. So here we have the lineage, and this is why it makes sense in Matthew. Why did it put that in Matthew? This is Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham. Why did he put it there? Well, that's why he put it there, because it is so important. So important. Now, here's what we know, though. And we learned this last week, okay? We learned this last week. Is that Jesus doesn't have a human father. Does he? Why? Because he's born of a Virgin Mary. He's born of the Virgin Mary, right? And so being born of the Virgin Mary, that we see, then learn, as we learned last week, that the divine seed comes through the virgin girl, as was first mentioned in this. Okay, now going back to last week, Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. But the seed always goes through the male. It doesn't come through the woman. This is the only place where it comes through the woman. Because Jesus is a virgin birth. It's a virgin birth. Amen? And so what we have here is the virgin birth presented that comes, and that Jesus comes through Mary. Amen? All right. Now here's the information. Mary also was a Jew. I just want to let you know. Mary was also a Jew. I think somebody's phone's going, car going off. Oh, okay. I thought somebody was just celebrating about the virgin birth. I didn't know. I thought this was a little more exciting than I thought it was, but anyway. Anyway, so the picture over here, we have this picture of that. So here we have the manger scene. We have the picture of Joseph, and he's the legal heir. And that's where the seed came from. He is the son of Abraham, and Jesus is the son of Abraham. But Mary is Jewish. And through her seed, Jesus comes. Because Jesus doesn't have an earthly father. Amen? But God says he won't, but God wants us to know who Jesus is and be confident. So we see it through his adopted father, Joseph, and we see it through his mother, Mary. And you go, man, this is like, that's amazing. I mean, this is amazing that that's how that would happen. And we are so assured. We are so assured that a kid from New Mexico is not Jesus. This is Jesus. He is a Jew. He's the son of Abraham. He's the son of Abraham. Now I'm throwing you just a little extra here, okay? But Mary's lineage is in Luke. Joseph's lineage is in Matthew through Joseph. Mary's lineage is in Luke. And it goes like this. Look at Luke, and I'm not going to do the whole thing, but Luke 3:23, it says this. Luke 23 says this. And Mary's lineage is traced back. Again, this is, I know it's a lie of information, but Jesus' lineage in Matthew starts off with Abraham and David. Mary's lineage goes back to Adam. First person goes back to Adam. Now it goes through Abraham, but it goes on back to Adam. So here we have in Luke 3:23. When he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age. He's about 30 years old. Being as was supposed. Now why did they put that in there? Why did Luke, a Gentile, Luke one of the only non-Jewish people to write in the scripture. Just know that. It's Luke, non-Jewish. So Luke is looking not so much what was the kingly lineage. Okay, he's looking at the earthly lineage. How did this happen? And he said, Jesus himself being about 30 years of age, as was supposed the son of Joseph, because he wasn't the son of Joseph. That's the reason he put there, as was supposed. And I looked several translations. Well, maybe somebody asked, no, it's in all of them. That's what it is. So he's letting us know, not talking about Joseph. It's supposed to be Joseph. You know, it wasn't really Joseph. It was Mary. All right. When he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. He's supposed to be the son of Joseph, but he wasn't. In reality, he was the son of Mary, traced all the way back to Adam. Because Jesus was the son of man. Jesus was the son of man. Jesus was the son of God through the Holy Spirit, but through Mary, he's the son of man. He is the one person, the perfect man, with God within him, that he could carry out the redemption of the world. He's the only one, the son of God and the son of man. And he pulled all that together. I mean, that's kind of amazing to me. Pull that together. And you see in Luke 3:38, We're not going to read all this down, but in Luke 3:38, still coming down, it's still talking about the lineage, and it says the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. That's how that reads. It reads that way. The son of Seth, the son of Adam, and Adam was the son of God. Jesus' lineage comes through Mary, is the son of God. And his father literally was God. Now, I know that's a bunch, but do you see that? I mean, it's like God said, I pull this stuff together. Jesus is not only the Son of God, he's the Son of Man. Now, saying this, it's like, this is like too much. Well, let me tell you what we learned this Sunday this morning. He's like, no, you don't have to do that. But what we want to do is understand, be in awe of what happened. Be in awe of how God proclaimed this, how over 2,000 years it unfolded exactly how he said, and we're still celebrating it. So we should have great assurance that God will do what he said. Amen? Be assured. Okay, I'm done. Here's the third dump. Promised you a third dump. I'm going to overwhelm you as much as I possibly can. Okay. He said Jesus is the son of David. He's Jesus, the son of Abraham, and the son of David. Well, we can't leave David out. We got to mention David. Okay, David's a Jew too, all right? And he is the first king. Actually, he's the second king. But he plays a major role in the Bible, David. And in the Gospels, you'll hear the people calling Jesus, you're the son of David. Wait a minute, I thought he's the son of God. I mean, they call him the son of man, the son of God, the son of David. God's got a lot of titles, Jesus does, all right? Which one is he? He's all of them. He's all of them. See, and you start seeing this picture. So we're going to quickly just touch on David. All right, just quickly touch on David because Jesus is also the son of David. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, 12 through 14. Now what we have here is David is the king. So the kingly line comes through David. David's ancestor is Abraham, okay? But the kingly line comes through David. And it goes, so he's in the lineage of Joseph. So it comes through to Joseph also. But look what he says to David. 1,000 years. Okay, we got Abraham 2,000 years ago. Now 1,000 years ago, we got David. And this is what it says. God says to David, I will raise up your descendants after you who will come forth from you. And I will establish his kingdom. God says, David, I'm going to establish his kingdom that comes through you. Verse 13, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I mean, and I don't mean to be a smart aleck or anything, right? Are there any kings in Israel today? Are they? No, they're none there. But God just said, he just said, I will establish the throne and his kingdom forever. Well, God must have messed up. Right? Then it goes on this. Says, I will be a father to him and he will be a son to me. Now, how are you going to do that? David's going, how you do that? You said he's my descendant, but you said you're going to be a father to him. He's going to be a son to me. How are you going to do that? What was Jesus? What was Jesus? He was a father to Jesus, and Jesus was a son to him. Jesus is the son of David. The seed is the son of Abraham, meaning one person. The descendant, the son of David, meaning one person, is Jesus. Jesus is the whole ball of wax. He is the king. He is the son of David. Now, David had a son, Solomon, who messed up. Okay, he tanked big time. But then the divine perfect descendant, Jesus, didn't fail. He hit it on all cylinders, man. Everything he did right. That son was perfect. And therefore, his throne is established forever. Now, when Jesus comes, we jump to Revelations, and when it tells about when Jesus comes back, and listen to what Jesus says when he comes back. I mean, when Jesus comes back, he can say anything, right? I mean, yeah. I mean, if whatever he said, it's good. You know, high five. Jesus, you said it, you know. But look what he says when he comes back. Revelations 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. Why David? He's a descendant of David. And through David, the kingdom is established. Through David and through Jesus, the kingdom never ends. It's through Jesus, just like Abraham. It's the eternal seed, the one person. The Bible is telling us about the one person, Jesus Christ. All the other stuff around it is to support it, or it's just smoke and mirrors. All right? We're coming to Jesus. Anybody starts talking to you about the Bible says this. And the Bible, okay, but it has to be founded and centered around proclaiming and showing us Jesus. Amen? So what we do this Sunday, it's like, I mean, what we do Christmas, like, oh my gosh, we're celebrating because it all's coming to a head. All coming to a head where it makes sense. The Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David. Christmas morning, it all came together. Lit, right there. And he stepped into this world. Right? And everything changed. Everything changed. And you know who knows? Us. Now, we may not understand it all, and we don't have to even remember the details of this message. But we need to have a sense of, oh my goodness, the awe of God. You know what that tells us? That God lined everything up just the way he wanted it. He fulfilled all his promises. And that means every single thing that God has said that's in the Bible is going to come to pass. It's all going to happen, folks. When Jesus was born, you know, and this just blows my mind. When Jesus was born in a little backwoodsy, back deserty town, insignificant town, in a stable, in a manger, God says, I'm going to fulfill all scripture right there in that manger. They can't even get a room. And I'm going to start right there. And I'm going to change the world right there. Son of God, Son of Adam, you know, Son of Man, Son of David, right there, and I'm going to change the world. So you know what that tells us? Whatever our circumstances is, God said, I'm going to move into your circumstances, and I'm going to change the world through you. Because you know this, and I'm going to do exactly what I said I would do. And you're better off than being born in the manger. You're better off. You're way better off. But this is what I'm going to do to you. Therefore, we should have full assurance in Jesus and the Word of God. Full assurance. When God speaks to us, when we read this and the Lord speaks to us, we should have full assurance. No, God, I'm going to do this. But the world is messed up, man. I'll take care of them. I'm going to go work through you. I'm doing great things to you. Don't you worry about all that stuff around you. I'm going to do great things through you. You trust in me. You trust in me and me alone. Amen? Just the assurance. So we have the first assurance. We have that assurance. Then also what we have assurance of. We have a home in heaven. Amen? He says, I'm going to deal with all this stuff. Okay. I have a home in heaven. And we know that. Because we know what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, all right? We have full assurance that we have a secure place in heaven. Because God made him who knew no sin. Now think about it. God made him who knew no sin. Who was that? God made Jesus. Jesus who knew no sin. Jesus, the Son of Abraham. Jesus, the Son of David. Jesus, the Son of Man. Jesus, the Son of God. He made him sin. He made him sin. The God of the universe, he made him sin. He died on the cross in our place. He who knew no sin became sin. That what? That we might be as righteous as God. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what mistakes you've made. I don't care what difficulties you've been through. They're paid for. They're on the cross. And God says, I love you. I look at you as holy, perfect, and right. And I'm going to walk with you for all eternity. I just believe on me. Trust in me. Trust. I fulfilled everything in a manger. In a manger. Okay, I can work the rest of this out. And he came to a manger, so you wouldn't think, wow, that's big stuff. I'll never be big. No, he went as low as he could get. So he'd know that everything is looking up for us, and he can speak to us, and he can transform our lives, and that we are forgiven, and we are loved. And here's something else. Just add this into overload, okay? The Bible says something very interesting, fascinating. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's seed, we are adopted into that family. It's clear. We're adopted. We can't. The boy born in New Mexico, his father's a half, grandfather's a half-breed Indian, gets adopted into the lineage of Jesus Christ. And I have a righteous, holy lineage and a home in heaven by adoption. See? Amen? Be encouraged. You're special people. Be encouraged. God wants to work. If you walk out this morning with one thing, just be encouraged that God loves you and he's worked all things around so he can bless you. Bottom line, that's all that means. So he can bless you. So I think we ought to just stand up and maybe praise him, all right? Just to praise him for what he's done. Be excited about what he's done for each of us. And again, there's a lot of details in here, and it's not necessary to know all those details and stuff. But again, to get the general big picture that God worked all these things for our salvation. He worked the whole universe so that as we standing here can accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, adopted into his family, and our lives are changed forever. Empowered by God, we boldly go before the throne of God and can call out to him. And he says he listens. Amen?